This is our main base. This is the base of the work of the Dominican Republic. To here we point to.
And Brother Green.
Yes, sir.
I've got a question for you.
Yes, that's
pretty elaborate good. A little bit on Brother Cyprian that was here a number of months ago. I can't remember. He mentioned the field. Would you elaborate on that a little bit? He said something about the field. You know, how about the man that went and found the treasure in the field, and he turned around and went and bought that field for that treasure? Was it Brother Cyprian, I believe? Yeah, said something about there's things in that field. Do you know something about what he was talking about? If you do, elaborate on a little bit on that.
Well, this is a revelation come from Mama, from the body. And so far we know the field is the body of Christ. And then that treasure, you found that treasure. It's more precious than gold. And it's precious. And thank God we found that treasure. And this is the revelation, the truth of the body. This understanding. And God showed it to us. So that's why we are here. Because He led us this way. So we are laboring in that field. That will answer your question.
Yes, but he had mentioned in that field, though, there was still junk in there. I think he had mentioned that there was still junk in that field. You know,
it is. We still have we still have a lot of Babylon in us. And there is a lot of work to do. It's a lot to do in that field. So obviously in the Dominican Republic, when we look at Haiti, we will look at, you know, the work here in America. We just are babies before you all. When I look at Haiti and see what the things goes on over there, it tells me that they have a lot of junk going in. They have to be worked out and cleaned up. Well, we're still babies yet. And we have a lot to do. We have a long way to go. But thank God we are in some way we are catching up. I heard what Brother Smith said at the time. He said when he first came, he said that he saw that these people was very far off. He didn't know if he will be able to catch up. So, if you look at Brother Smith, he have caught up. In the meantime, we've been coming and catching up some. And by God, like Brother Miller says, by God grace. My God, by God grace, we're here. We still, we we have cut up some. And I'm glad for that. But we're working, brother. Yes, sir. Some other question.
Which would you consider the most advanced, the Norwegian, your country, or Haiti?
Oh. Santo Domingo. If you want me, I will just say a little bit of history briefly about Haiti and Santo Domingo. I'll be brief about that. Yes, sir.
They need to understand that when you say Santo Domingo, you're talking about the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
That's the capital, and they, a lot of times, instead of saying the Dominican Republic, they just say Santo Domingo, because over there, that means the whole country.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's like, no, like somebody when you leave from the Dominican Republic, they say, you're going to New York. Everybody think that all the United States is New York. And the correction of Brother Smith now here is, instead of the Dominican Republic, saying the Dominican Republic, we say Santo Domingo. And that, I put that in there, but it's, the clarification is good.
It's true, too, that many people in the Dominican Republic have never been to anywhere in the United States except for New York. And they think the whole United States is like that.
Yeah.
That's what they think it's like. I had a sister, she's dead now, but when I first went over there, Sister Juana Baez, she never saw the body, but she was friends with Brother Green, and she befriended us and took care of us the first time we went there. He put us in her home. and she went to New York. She'd only been to New York and Miami. That's the only places she'd ever been in America. So she wanted to come see us in Missouri. So she called me and she said, I want to come visit you. I said, you're more than welcome to come. She said, can I take a boat all the way there? I told her, I said, well, let me think about that. I said, you probably could take a boat from New York, maybe on down to the, you know, to around Florida, and maybe come up the Mississippi if you could catch a barge or something coming up the Mississippi and then cut off on the Missouri River. You could get close to me. I could come get you if you got that close. I said you could, you know, either come off the Mississippi into Missouri, maybe even over to the Arkansas River, and come on up to Tulsa. I could pick you up there.
My God, you turned her mind around. She didn't probably know where to go. Anyway, going back to the island is called La Hispaniola. And it first was discovered by Christopher Columbus in 1940, in the 1492, ma'am.
It was discovered by Christopher Columbus.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, the same year that was discovered the United States of America as well. So anyway, the island was called La Hispaniola. Altogether, it was just one island. So the reason why it was divided, because of the lack of many, you know, people to be in all the island, there was a time around the 1500s, a lot of pirates come around the island of the Caribbean. Then some pirates was backed up by France and also England. And so wherever merchandise and thing they stole of and ripped in different islands of the Caribbean, so they sold and shared with France. So then the time came when that part of that was the west of the country had no hardly no people. So then those pirates went and took over, and they stayed in that part of the island. So when they began to work it out, and then finally there was an agreement with Spain and France for they to then stay on that part of the island. But if we can say it so, they stole it. So, and they then began to bring in African slaves and began to work over there so that made a division of the island. And the part, what is called Haiti, the word is Haiti. That's an Indian name. That was a high part of the island where was mountain. And the Indians, the Taínos, called it Hai. So that where it picked up the name Haiti. So the so then when they got the independence in the 804, they got it in the 1804, they got the independence from the French. Yes. So then they stayed on that other part of the island, and it was stripped by the French, and they left it in a very, bad condition. So then in the 1819 around there, then there was a general named Boyer. So he went over to the next part. Santo Domingo. They called Saint Domingue Haitian and Saint Domingue Spanish. So then, when they came over, Boyer still there was in Santo Domingo, there was slaves here. So he worked to abolish completely the slavery, and that would give them some more popularity and acceptance. And so that was how the country became one. They wanted to make it one again, but later on we get the independence from them, and they went in there, obviously in the 1820, 21, they was there in there like for 43, 44 years, and we get our independence in the 1844. So the country, the side of Haiti was, less developed. So the other side of Santo Domingo, there was better off, had better land, and then we had a democratic government, which they had a dictator government in Haiti. That made it bad for them. And so economically and social and political, we're much better off. The Dominican is much better off, more safety, more security in the Dominican than in Haiti. That answers your question?
Yes. I have one more question. The other day I read in the paper that, I forget the name of the storm, but a storm had hit the Dominican.
In what year?
About 3 weeks ago. A bad storm, part of the hurricane, whatever they're calling it. This
3 weeks ago?
Something like that. It was.
Well, 3 years ago.
No, about just recently. Came out in the paper.
Well, so far what we heard, what we had down there was a tropical storm with had a lot of rain.
A lot of rain.
Yes, but we had the less devastating storm we had in the Dominican Republic. It's called George. It was 1998.
No, this was this year.
Recently, we haven't had a bad storm like that since that year. Only what we've had, you know, tropical storms and little wind and didn't much rain and anything else.
I have one more question. I'm recognized, Dester. Dester always says I ask all the questions. Do you people have welfare? Does that island have welfare for people who need help?
No, ma'am. We don't.
Oh.
We don't have welfare. Sorry for that. We have a nice, good country, but you know, the politicians have had so much corruption and did so many wrong things that puts us in a very bad situation, condition of the economy. And
okay, I have one more question. You said that I really enjoyed your talk the other night about where the children were living, and I've had them on my mind. And then, because I'm from the poor part of Missouri, so I understand very dimly some of what you've gone through. But what do you do when you have so many children? And I got the impression that you didn't have any place for the children. I mean, any parents to go out and work for them. Is that how you help the children? You take them in and different ones have different children living in different houses with your children? If we wanted to help somebody over there, how would we go about helping?
Well, we're, this is the base.
Amen.
And you have a missionary work in the Dominican Republic who's in charge of it is Brother Smith. And any help or any way how we wanted to serve or help anybody, you should do it through him. We have some need there, obviously, since you brought that up. And these have been children of my, you know, different sisters, and in that they has been in a very bad situation economically. So in different way, of the little resources I get,
I had heard
that. I helped them.
I had heard that it's better to send money than it is to send clothes, you know.
Yeah. The only way, if you sent like things like that, it's like if we made like a container, a big container. People put clothes for a month and shoes and thing in there, and then like after you got so many things, in some way then that can be shipped over. But as the base said, and Brother Schmidt has been in the Dominican Republic now for a while. He's very well acquainted with the situation in the Dominican Republic. I believe he knows, you know, the best way how to handle things over there.
Let me comment on that. Of course, in the body, one of the ways, there's order of how the body has order. And just like in a local church, we've always taught, I've had things like this happen down through the years where, let's say somebody gets up and gives a testimony about, you know, how they're maybe it's a little woman that's divorced and has a couple kids, two or three kids, and she's working and trying to make ends meet, and she gets up and testifies how her car broke down, and she asked the church to pray because she went to the it broke down, and she had a mechanic look at it, and they had to tow it to them, and it's going to cost $300 to fix it, and she don't have the money to get it fixed, but she don't have any transportation to work, and she tells us all about this need, and just asking for prayer. Well, in Babylon, there may be 10 people that night when church is out feel touched by her testimony and prayer request, that there may be 10 people give her $300 apiece. So she walks out of there with $3,000. In the body, the Bible teaches to give alms in secret. Alms is when you're giving for a need of poverty or, there are several reasons for that. Number one, if you give to someone who is poverty-stricken or in a need, then you have an upward advantage of influence over that person. They feel obligated to you if you're helping them. So we've always taught in the body, when there's a need like that, you feel a need, you go to the pastor, and you tell that pastor you feel God want you you felt touched and you felt like the Lord wanted you to. I've had several people come to me down through the years and say, I feel like, Brother Smith, I'd like to help on this lady's need. When my answer would be, it's already been met. Somebody else has already met it. The need's been met. But you see the benefit of the order of that. But other times, if they were the first person to talk to me and wanted to meet the need, but if you give the money directly to the person, you got that person's praise and glory, and they feel an obligation to you, so you got your reward. But if you give it in secret unto the Lord, God will reward you. And so we have a good order in the body of how to handle these things. Like in the Dominican Republic, I've got, like for example, Brother Leah Cipriano's daughter. We're putting her through medical school. I have a sponsor that pays her medical school. We, this church, has sponsored Brother Green's daughter all the way through her medical school. There's many things we've sponsored. We had a we needed transportation over there. Brother Green, I bought him a car. When I say I'm talking about the church, because the church always is in backing that up. But when I first went to the Dominican Republic, he had a little Mazda, and it was a good little car, but it didn't last too much long after I got there. So I picked up a little Dodge minivan and shipped it over there to him. Well, the last time I seen that, there was about 20 Dominicans in it, and it was laying right down, you know, on the tires, just barely going. And we needed a new vehicle. And God helped us. The Dominican Republic government had a program where they were helping certain people that Brother Green found out about and was able to qualify for the governmental help on buying a brand new minivan. It's a diesel minivan. What's the name of that van, Brother Green?
It's called Ja.
Ja. It's made in China. Mm-hmm. But it's a really good little van. We were able to buy that van for, I think it was $26,000, wasn't it? Brand new.
No, it was. It cost 23. It cost on the market 28, and we got it with the government plan for 19,900. Almost,
yeah, but
20,
it cost 000. More than that. Time we paid the everything. It was almost 23,000, I believe.
Absolutely.
Time we paid everything. Anyway, I was able, I don't even remember how we did it, but I was able to raise that money through this church, the Republic Church, Wichita Church, and some other few other churches that gave in on it. We paid cash for that new van. So God helped us do that. And then we bought another van after that. Well, we've just done all kinds of things, you know. So like Brother Green's saying, they make me aware of the needs, and then like right now, we're fixing, if God doesn't move for us, which he has in the past, but I know it probably won't last forever. The building Brother Green is in, it's a building about maybe half the size of this dining room.
No, it's about this side, Brother Smith.
No, it's not this big.
It's not this big?
No, it's about half the size of this dining room.
Okay.
Because it's not any wider, deeper than this, and it's not no more wider than half of it.
Okay.
So, but we can get about 250 people in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put them in there pretty close sometimes, but that building has a second floor, and it has a three-bedroom, three-bath home upstairs, and the people that rent it to us live up there. Then they have a little motel next door. Probably has about 20, 24 rooms in it, something like that.
Yes, sir.
And they want to sell us that property. The problem is they want 11 million pesos for it. 11 million pesos is almost $300,000.
$12 million.
$12 million. Well, it's right now 43-44 to 1, so you're talking about $280,000 or something. Well, I offered them. What did I offer them, Brother Green? $6 million.
you offered them
nine. I can't remember what.
Somewhere around there, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, you made him an offer that...
I made him an offer which scared me to death, because if they accepted, I didn't know how in the world I'd ever pay it. But I just was trusting God. If God made him accept it, he'd give me the money to pay it.
That's called faith.
Yeah, well, what I really wanted, I wanted that building because we have enough room in the back to build a whole new sanctuary. And then the house upstairs we could use for... you know, to keep people in when they come and visit. And then the little motel room I wanted to make into a school. A school over there, we could probably have 100 kids in no time. And that school would Where's Brother Mike? Is Brother Mike in here? They're not here. The Craftons. Yeah, that's right. Well, anyway, he's digging in all kinds of ways to find these people that donate money for tax write-offs. I'm just going to tell him this is a deal he could work on. Anyway, they want us to move because we can't buy it. You know, they keep putting pressure on us. They tell us, we want you to get out because we're old and we can't climb these stairs no more, and we're going to fix a place for us to live down below and all that. And they're getting old. I mean, they're probably in their 80s. Mm-hmm. And
76 and 80s.
Yeah. So anyway, they have sent us an attorney. They had their attorney send us a get-out notice. You know, in other words, we're giving you so long to get out. Which they want us to get out by January the 1st, which they're crazy. My rent's paid up to March the 1st. You know, we've got rent paid. We pay it annually. And what the reason they think it's January the 1st is because the first year I paid it annually was in March, from March to March. The next year, they wanted money in February. And for us to pay it in a year in advance in one lump sum, which our rent is like $300 a month, $300-something. And so they said they'd take $300 a month, $3,300 for a year $3,600. If I would pay it, you know, then they'd take that discount instead of it being $350 or $300, whatever it was. There's more. So I paid it. Well, in February the next year, they just need money, so they said, we'll do it to you another year if you'll pay us now, another year in advance for the same price. So I did it in February. I paid them, but I told Brother Green, I said, you tell them this is March to March. We're paying a month early. We're already paid up until March. Well, the next year, they wanted to do the same thing in January. So we did it. I told them the same thing, but they said, now they're saying, we want you to get out in January when your rent's due, which they, you know, we can prove with what we paid and when we paid it. So they're always, you got to learn the way of a Dominican. You know, if a Dominican wants $100 from you, they're going to ask for $300. They're going to start off high. They'll come down. And if they want to sell something, they'll take way less than what they're asking. And just hope you're fool enough to pay the asking price. Well, anyway, so we do have all kinds of needs over there, just like Brother Green's and Elias Ciprian, Brother Calderon. Well, just it never ends, Brother Rudy. I mean, we've got pastors. Every one of them have needs. They come to us. You know, that's why we have a missionary account. We keep money in our missionary account. I have people. I have Brother Chris Urbano in, where's it at? Yeah, Elizabethtown. He gives us, you know, almost every meeting I go to, he'll give me a $100 offering for the missionary work. Brother Hugo Rodriguez in Brownsville gives us about $600 a year, normally in one check. Brother John Wright in California gives us about $2,000 a year in one check, generally. Other than this church, Republic Church, and the Wichita Church, that's about all that gives anything to the Dominican Republic. We spend probably in excess of $50,000 a year over there, which includes my travels going over there. Every trip I make costs generally around $5,000. Costs generally about $1,000 for my trip. And by the time I give everybody offerings over there and meet what needs are there and pay for everything we do, you know, if we have a meeting and there's 250 people come to Brother Green's church and several different pastors, we have an all-day service after service, we take them to feed them either at his house, and I pay for all of it. I mean, they're not going to pay anything, you know, on, they don't have anything to pay. So I feed all of them, you know. And then, you know, when I go over there, there's like people has their car, like Elias, last time I was there, he needed $300. His car was in the shop. He couldn't get it out. You know, somebody else had, you know, $300 or $400 need. And then I pay for gas. Gas is $5-6 a gallon everywhere we go. Motel rooms for me and the pastors when we travel to these churches. So it costs a lot of money to operate missionary work, you know. And then we've got all these needs that, like Brother Rudy called me. Last one I can think of, his wife was in the hospital. And she needed medication, but they wouldn't give it to her until it was paid for. He had no money. I can either say no, let her suffer, or I can say how much money I need to send you. So Brother Green has a checkbook over there. He never writes a check. I put the money in the account over here. When we have a need, I tell him I must write a check for it, and he writes it and meets the needs over there. So all the different needs, he and I know about all of them. We work together to make sure that we meet what is absolutely necessary. So, Brother Calderon, Brother Wayne took up a offering for Brother Calderon's building. We got about $5,000 in that offering, actually. And we thought we was going to be able to put a roof on the building. Of course, we gave till this month to get all the pledges in on it. And we thought we could do the roof and the floor and the windows and doors, just a raw building, for him to get in and start having service. But when he went to put the roof on it, they told him, you don't have enough columns to hold, support this kind of roof. So the first $1,500 I gave him, he had to put new columns in, which we thought was going to put up the roof. So most of the pledges are in now. He's out of town, but when he gets back, he'll have him put the roof on. You know, we've got all except what pledges haven't come in, we've got that money, you know, it's not going to finish it, but at least we can get a roof on it and probably get the slab poured in the floor. The way they do over there, they pour footing, put cinder block walls up, then that becomes the form for the slab to be poured. Then they go inside and pour the slab on the floor. And then they finish out the building. They get the roof on it first, then they pour the slab. And that's normally how they do it. What I was going to say earlier, if we have to get out of this building, we're looking at land right now, which I don't want us to keep this building if we can't buy it. I'd love to be able to buy it because it's a good location and it's, you know, it could make. In fact, you know, I'd build a new sanctuary behind it and make what we're in right now actually make it foyer and offices and bathrooms. You know, even though, I mean, that sounds like pretty big, but it's not when you go to adding big bathrooms and making it nice. And I want to build a mother church in La Romana. That's where we have, you know, our main base is there. And I'd like to build a mother church there that people could come and see. A picture's worth more than 1,000 words. And if they could come see a nice church, you know, I'd like to build it big enough that we could have our meetings in to get 500-600 people in. We could do that right now and divide it in half and make part of it a dining room. But anyway, y'all need to pray that God will help us to get the money to get at least some land. If we could buy the land, which we've got two pieces of property right now we're looking at, if we could buy the land, well, we could start building a building. We could just build a building with two walls and a metal roof. A wall on the side where the rain comes from, the north and the east side. Probably, and then leave the south and east side open And, you know, we'd have to fence the property but for security, but and we could build a room to put all their instruments and things, lock them up afterwards where there wouldn't be anything but chairs underneath that roof. We could get by with that for quite some time because you don't have air conditioning, you don't have heat. So, you know, all you need is a roof, something to get in out of the rain is an absolute need, but of course... Land costs way more over there than it costs in America. It's an island. There ain't but so much of it. So, like for an example, a lot the size of this room would easily cost $50,000. Anywhere in a good locale. Now, we can buy a lot the size of this room for probably $25,000 in a residential area, but not in a commercial area. Don't, not necessarily, as long as we were close to a main street, you know, just to maybe block off. So what we're looking at. We're looking at some land just in a residential area, but it's very close to some of the main streets. We could get by with that, you know. So there's been a piece of property I looked at when I first went there, right on the corner in the lot. It's about the size of this room, ain't it, Brother Green?
Yes, sir.
13 years ago, they wanted $60,000 for it. It's still sitting there. Ain't nobody going to pay that for that, but they ain't going to take no less either. You know, so you just have to look and pray, and God will have to lead the way and open doors. But anyway, I know we're out of time. Sister McGowan ain't here. She had already rung the bell. Oh. So I have to just keep talking. She has to look for an opening. So, let's go upstairs, take a break, go upstairs and have service. There'll be many out today coming in, so